did some other studies, different things. And as we kind of get in the fall season now, summer's ending up, and we've begun a new month today. I feel impressed this month, and we'll do it on the Sunday nights that we preach. I think we've got Brother Mark Rogers will be here. It's either the last or second to last Sunday, as he is with us every year. But the other four Sundays or so, I want to try to tackle maybe some modern issues that are going on in our day. And we've got so many things happening in our world, in our country, and a lot of solutions are trying to be presented politically and socially and other ways. But I believe the Bible has the answers for what we're facing in our day. Always has and always will. And so we want to try to tackle some things tonight. I won't tell you just yet what I'm going to deal with, but I hope it'll light a fire under you as a child of God and as a soul that God has given life to. I pray this evening that this would stir your heart. I think everybody here will be in agreement, at least with the premise of what we preach. And if you don't agree with it, then you're the one that's wrong. And you need to get in line with the Word of God. And so this evening, let's look at this. This is a hot topic, amen, in our country. And it's even hotter right now in an election year. And so let me read one verse and you'll think, man, what is he dealing with? But I think that it'll make sense here in a moment. Stand with me. Stretch your legs a moment, if you will, and enable out of reverence reading God's word. Proverbs 8, verse 36 says, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." And I think you'll understand this. We're in a culture. And in America, it's a mixture of a Babylonian culture and a Romish culture that, my friend, has been revived in our day. And there is a love of death across our land. And I want to hit on that in a very specific way this evening, if the Lord will help us. And I won't give you my thought yet. You got to hang with me. It'll be a lot of maybe teaching and building into a preaching gear. And maybe we'll get there or won't. But we want to deal with this. All they that hate me love death. All right, you can be seated tonight. Lord, would you please send us help we need, give us clarity of thought, mind, communication tonight as we deliver this, not just to these that are here, but across our community. And Lord, no telling, Lord, through the live stream and that archive, and Lord, the ways that maybe that could get out, Lord, across our land and even around the world. I pray you take it and use it for your honor and glory as you've laid this upon our heart. And we'll thank you for what you do, Lord, tonight and in days to come. Help our nation send a revival, Lord, a revival of righteousness, a revival of fear of God, a revival, Lord, that makes us get right, confess our sin and turn from it and fall madly in love with the God of heaven. Lord, we'll thank you for all you do tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. In Proverbs chapter number 8, in verse number 1, we find that this chapter, in that verse, sets the tone and the understanding that we need for the entirety of the chapter. And it is simply Proverbs 8. I think Brother Tim taught on this several years ago. It really is the call of Jesus Christ in Proverbs 8 in the personification or by the personification of wisdom. And we understand that wisdom is crying out and wisdom is putting forth her voice for those that would hear and listen that they might have understanding. And we find that Christ personified, and it is in the feminine form we see here, and wisdom is personified as, but it is the Lord Jesus crying out to his creation and crying out to mankind. He stands in the top of the high places. He stands by the way, verse number 2, in the places of the pass. And so tonight in Proverbs 8, Christ in the personification of wisdom is standing, crying out to men and women and young people as they pass by, as they live their lives. He's calling to them in his way. He's calling them into his own wisdom. It is the divine wisdom of God. We'll see that later on in the message tonight. He's calling them into the way of righteousness. He's calling them out of sin. He's calling them to fall in love with him. He's calling them to live in prudence and in knowledge and in understanding, that in doing so, their life would be blessed by God. And as we've studied in our thoughts, even taken from Proverbs 2, our last study together, and when a man and a woman, a young person, will find the knowledge of God, how their life is blessed and how their life is benefited in that knowledge. And we find the same in Proverbs 8, that through a relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God, who is the power of God, who has in himself everything you need for life and godliness. And my friend, in him we are blessed, and our life is made the better for knowing the wisdom of God. In this closing verse we've read tonight in this text, it ends on a note of caution. It ends on a low note. It ends on a negative. And it is just simply this: he that sinneth against me, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. And much of the chapter is set on the positives of knowing Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. Again, there's riches and there's honor and there's good name and there's good benefits. And then he closes it saying, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. And so he is indicting, making an indictment against those that ignore the Lord to do and to have their own way. And we understand that in the culture we're living in tonight, by and large, that is the testimony they have. That is the testimony of the world tonight, is that they want to do and have their own way. But God said to do that is sin against the Lord Jesus. That is to sin against the wisdom of God. And in sinning against God, there is a wronging. There is a detriment, if you will, to a man's own soul. Do you understand tonight? I know you do, that nobody ever sins and has their own way and sins against God and lives a blessed life. And that's what God is saying. He's saying you are harming yourself by trying to have your own way and to ignore God and to reject the Lord and to deny his wisdom in your life. Is not only sin against him, but it is a harm to your own life. Notice how he ends here. Such a life is said to be in hatred to God, and to have a life, or to have a being, if you will, that is in love with death. He that sinneth against me, God said, wrongeth his own soul. And all they that hate me, you say, preacher, nobody hates God tonight. Oh, friend, there are more that hate God than know and love God tonight. And there are many that are religious and have a hatred of the true God and his ways tonight. That this hatred is measured on how one chooses to sin against God. And God said that when mankind go on in habitual sin, in willing sin, and seek in their own will to have their own way, and this is a manifestation of a man's hatred against God and a man's love with death. Romans 6:23, you know the verse well, said the wages of sin is death. And James would say in James chapter number 1 that every man is drawn away and enticed of his own lust. And that he's drawn into sin. And sin, when it is, when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is conceived, it bringeth forth what James says, said it brings forth death. And so the idea of sin and death that is in Proverbs 8 and in verse 36 is in connection with the entirety of the Word of God. To sin is to choose death. To sin is to avoid life. To sin is to hate God. And in that hatred, there is a connection in a sinner's life with death. We know that in the end of the judgment of sinners, that as they stand before God, in the great white throne judgment of sinners, that the Bible said they'll be cast into the lake of fire. And John the Beloved said, this is the second death. And so a life of rebellion, a life of sin, is hatefulness and hatred against God, and is a love for the death that is to come. They're in love with something. Listen, sinners are in love tonight with something that one day they're going to despise. Something tonight, they love their sin, and they love their own way, and they love their lust, they love their immorality, they love their rebellion, they love their pride. But my friend, they hate God, but one of these days, a very thing that they love tonight is going to result in their eternal death. And so there is an application to this of sinners tonight. But I'm interested in taking a very practical view of this. Not just a love of death tonight that will result in eternal death to come. But this evening, there's no greater verse, I believe, tonight to lay out and describe. Listen now, it is called the pro-choice movement in America. And I use that in quotes, and you'll see why in a moment. No greater verse to lay out and describe the pro-choice movement in America than that they have a love for death. They have a love for death. The pro-choice movement tonight is a movement. It is, we'll see in a bit, amen, really it's a religion tonight and is centered around death. The religion of the Bible is centered around life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But the pro-choice cult and religion in America tonight, it is centered around death. The battle lines have been drawn on this issue of abortion, and they've been drawn around two different camps and two different titles. And obviously the first would be the pro-choice side of the battle line, and then there is the pro-life side of the battle line. And they want to fit us in these different camps this evening. And by the way, let me just go on record and say I am unashamedly, amen, in this battle on the side of being pro-life. I'm pro-life tonight from the head of my top of my head to the bottom of my foot. Amen. I believe that God is pro-life. I believe Christ is pro-life. And I'll show you that in the Word of God tonight. And so we have the pro-life and the pro-choice. Ain't that an interesting way to describe these two camps and these two groups in this battle that rages tonight? Pro-life and pro-choice. And obviously the pro-life side of the, we'll say, argument for sake of the message tonight and our cultural understanding of this battle. But it would seem that the opposite of being pro-life would not be pro-choice, but rather would be anti-life. Amen. And in this, in these battle lines and the names that have been associated with both sides of the argument tonight, there is a deception in that.
amen, to make the other side that really is anti-life, to make them for something, to make it more appealing, to make it sound a little bit better, that they are not actually anti-life, they're pro-choice. And the devil has been so skilled in his goons and his devilish crowd of liberals in our day. They have been so wise in restructuring the argument away from life and to put it in the realm of choice. But I want to say tonight, to be pro-choice is to be anti-life. Amen. I need more help tonight. Y'all going to be bored. I'll preach it another time when you're ready. Amen. To be pro-choice is to be anti-life. And we're in a day this has to be understood, and I lay it out tonight. To be anti-life, then, is to be a lover of death. It is to be a lover of death, and the abortion industry tonight is a movement, and more than a movement, it is a religion, and I would say, Brother Tim, more than a religion. And it is indeed a cult that has an anti-life mentality about it. And so if the Lord will help us tonight, I want to deal with this thought around the abortion issue this evening. And I want to deal with it in this, under this heading, the anti-life mentality of the pro-choice movement. The anti-life mentality of the pro-choice movement. And I hope that maybe we can think about this in terms as we lay it out tonight. And we'll use the Bible and we'll use some statistics and we'll give some consideration to some things tonight. Some statistics for you and I to consider this evening around the subject of abortion. From 1973 to 2021, there were 63,459,781 abortions that are recorded in the statistics and have been kept through different and various organizations. Some say that number actually may even be undercounted because of different and various years early on where records were not kept and abortions were in many ways at their highest peaks during those times and during those years. In 2023, we saw the highest number of abortions in recent decades. Listen now, last year alone was 1,026,690 abortions. And again, there are certain organizations that will even tell us that it likely is underreported in years, in the decade leading to 2023. America was having little over six, and I say little over, that it's a lot, but a little over 600,000 abortions were committed for nearly a decade, and now there's been a spike in the last couple of years. And as this debate has raged on and battle has been brought up to the forefront again in great political divides that have gone on, we're seeing a rise, not a decline. And I'm for, listen, Roe v. Wade was the sacred cow of the liberals and the abortionists. Amen, I want to deal with this right tonight, but I want to be bold, amen, of the anti-life cult. Amen, Roe v. Wade was their sacred cow. And several years ago, we know the Supreme Court in the Dobbs decision sent the abortion issue back to the states. And I don't care where you stand on it. It ain't my goal to get in the political weeds about all of that tonight. But my point is, the overturning so-called of Roe v. Wade has done nothing to stem the tide of abortion in our nation. You want to know why? Because that is the political side of things and the judicial side of things. And the matter we're dealing dealing with and fighting about tonight, make no mistake about it, it is spiritual and it is moral. And until America has a moral and a spiritual adjustment in the heart of our nation, this problem will never be solved. And so when we understand the statistics and the numbers tonight, and likely 2024 will have even greater numbers than 23 had, and it's just going to continue to get worse. One in four women, it is said, will have an abortion sometime in their lifetime. I was homeschooled, public schooled, Christian schooled. Amen. And maybe a couple years it was no school, but I'm smart enough to understand that that's 25% of the women in America, according to the statistics, will have an abortion in their lifetime. Abortions take place in two forms. And the first form is a procedural abortion. The second is a medication abortion. And the account, the numbers and the statistics of these forms of abortion break down in present day that the medication abortions account for little over 60% of the abortions in America. That is, you can request a pill from a doctor and the doctor will give you a scribe and you can send it in, have it mailed to you or pick it up in the Walgreens or the CVS. And my friend, you can do away with that life that is on the inside of you. And my point is simply this, abortion is getting easier and easier in the days we're living in as this battle is raged. The anti-life movement is making it easier, accessible, and less shame and less embarrassment, and providing a culture and an atmosphere where this is just going to continue to ramp up and get worse. Here's something to consider around the debate. When we think about the anti-life versus the pro-life battle that we're in tonight, what does the anti-life, what is their favorite arguments immediately when you began to deal with the issue about abortion? Here's what they say. Well, we got to be worried about women who have been raped and women that have had incest committed with or against them. And we have to give consideration to abortion because of the life of the mother is at stake and her bodily autonomy and her bodily function. And we can't put women in these dangerous situations. And so they wrap the whole narrative on the anti-life movement around a sympathetic argument that really, let's be honest, we're Christians tonight. And there's a part of that in our humanity. And we think about a woman being raped or incest or a woman's life that is at risk, that it touches us in our emotions and in our feelings. But let's consider the statistics tonight. Here's what you'll find when you break down the reasons that women are having abortions. It is as stated, less than 1% of abortions are for the cause or the reason of rape and incest. Just a little over 1% of abortions are for abnormality of the baby. Listen to this, 0.3% of abortions are for risk to the mother's life or the major bodily functions of the mother. A little over 2% are for other physical health concerns, either to the baby or the mother. That leaves tonight, this is an astounding statistic, at 96% of all abortions are simply elective. And women do it not for their own bodily function, not for some harm to their own life, not because of rape or incest, but 96% of all abortions, they are elective. They are simply the choice of a woman and maybe of a man alongside of her, and they're going to make an anti-life decision to take the life of that human being that has been conceived in that woman's womb. Do you see what they're doing? They're using the emotional aspect of the argument and to rally, amen, people to an anti-life position altogether around what has been termed as exception clauses. Now this evening, I'm not going to get into all of that. I don't have time to get into the exceptions that are being presented in our day. And I will make this statement, you're either pro-life altogether or you're not pro-life at all. And you can like that and you can lump that, but that is the fact of the matter. Amen. And I understand the sympathies. I don't have all the answers to rape and incest and life of the mother. Those are things that, that my friend, those are weighty matters and things that, amen, I'm telling you, plague people in our day. But it's not the major point of the argument tonight. I've watched this as I've studied this issue pretty close and watched the arguments and the debates between the two sides. I've watched pro-life people arguing from a pro-life position and even submit to the anti-life argument. Well, let's just say that we make the exceptions for rape and incest and life of the mother. Then will you agree with me that to have elective, self-willed choices of abortion, that those are wrong? And you know what they'll say? Absolutely not. My body, my choice. My body, my choice. My body, my choice. And they have all sorts of things of women's rights and health care rights and different things tonight that they argue from that anti-life part of the argument. But let's be honest tonight. Amen. America and the world is in a mess in this, and there are too many lives that have been lost. There's been a love of death. It was sad. I don't know. I'm sure all of you heard about it from somewhere. If you didn't, this will be mind-blowing to you. Then at the Democratic Convention, they set up a trailer on the outside and they offered abortions for women and vasectomies for men. And you tell me they're not a death-loving cult tonight. Hey man, inviting women to come to their convention and to kill babies on the doorstep, hey man, of their Democratic convention. I'm telling you, America has a death cult tonight. Hey man, and you'll see it. I hope you'll see it. And you may get mad at me. You may get mad at me in the building. That's all right. Hey man, Brother Mike's doing all my arguing and my debating, and Brother Mark and Brother Tim, they're taking care of all the fighting tonight. Hey man, I ain't arguing and I ain't fighting. I'm going to Montana tomorrow. Amen. I ain't got time for it. Amen. But we are in a death cult in America in this hour, even in some of the conservative states. Since the Dobbs decision, we're finding the so-called conservative states, my friend, are making and voting the people, by and large, of America. They are sanctioning an anti-life movement, even in conservative states. Amen. There's a problem. There's a problem. And I'm not dealing with this from a political point of view. I'll tell you this, they ain't more than a handful in Washington tonight, and they ain't more than a handful in a lot of state governments, amen, that are truly pro-life. And I hate that we're put in a place where, amen, we got to try to pick the lesser of two evils. I'm fed up with that. I hate that. Amen. In the hour we're living in, amen, my goal is not to look at it from a political view, but a spiritual view and a moral view. Amen. Because that's where I believe the issue's going to be solved. Amen. The politicians, they're more interested in lining their pocketbooks, and they're more interested in getting voted back in than they are making a moral stand. Amen. I'm tired of the wishy-washy politicians. Amen. They say they stand one way. 2 days later, they stand another way. I wish they'd make up their ever-loving mind and just whatever it is, just, amen, stand where you are morally. Amen. Quit lying to the church and lying to, amen, Bible believers about where you stand, because this matter is too important for us to take people at their word. Amen. I told you I'd make some of y'all mad. I ain't even calling names, and some of y'all want to come punch me in the face. Amen. Are y'all listening? This week, this week we've watched both political candidates wanting to be president of this nation waffle and present various forms of this debate, and neither of them are falling on a pro-life stand. Are you listening? Amen. Why? Because they've made it a political issue, and it is a moral issue. Amen. The anti-life mentality of the pro-choice movement. Y'all ready for this? Let me give you six thoughts tonight about it. I'll give them to you quick. Amen. And we're done. I preached 37 minutes. That means I get to preach an hour and 22 tonight. All right? Amen. Notice with me, number one, in the anti-life mentality, the pro-choice movement, here's what I want to say first of all. It is adversarial to the thought of divine wisdom. That is the point of the verse that we've read tonight as we use this for a springboard into our thought. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. What is the problem with the anti-life mentality tonight? What is it? What can we draw from their mentality in their mind tonight? There is an adversarial mentality to the thought of divine wisdom. Proverbs 8 is showing the mentality of the abortion death cult. That is nothing more than hatred for God, hatred for God's word, and hatred for God's divine purpose for mankind. And tonight this world is in such mentality, that they do not want divine wisdom. They want their own rights. They want their own way. They want their own political persuasion to be in power. And tonight all of it boils down to what God said, to what Jesus said, as the personification of wisdom in Proverbs 8, is that they have an adversarial mentality, amen, that is set against God. They don't want God in their life. They don't want God's word poured into their life. Amen. God said, I've sent two ways before you. I've sent life and I've sent death. And God said, you ought to choose life. But you can choose death, and that's what they're choosing today, because in their mindset, they are the enemies of God. Amen. This world's enemies with God. It's anti-life, pro-choice, my hind leg. Amen. If they knew, and by the way, it's amazing how many of that crowd gets up and claims to be Christian and claims to be the Bible and claims, my friend, the name of religion, and to turn around and promote the killing of babies. And that tells me tonight they don't know God. They don't know Jesus Christ. I told you what Jesus said in John 10. He said, I've come that you might have life. What did Satan come to do? He said, the thief cometh forth, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And tonight the abortion industry has done the work of the devil. They're doing the work in the gates of hell. Amen. And hell rages tonight through that cult mentality and an adversarial mentality that is set against the divine wisdom of Almighty God. Amen. They don't know God. They don't know God. Amen. This crowd tonight, amen, that pushes and promotes this, their whole mentality has rooted and founded every bit of their argument. When it boils down, it has nothing to do with women's rights. It has nothing to do with making your own choices. It has nothing to do with my body, my choice. It has everything to do with they hate God, they hate God's word, and they hate the fact that there's a creator that they're accountable to, and so they're going to do their own thing, their own way, and in sinning against God, they wrong their own soul, and they are a manifestation of those that hate God and love death. Amen. The anti-life mentality, it is adversarial to the thought of divine wisdom. Number two, the anti-life mentality, it is absent of personal responsibility. The argument of we're pro-choice is laughable. It's insanity. I'll give you this. I'm pro-choice in the sense You have a choice to sleep with who you want to sleep with. You have a choice to decide if you're going to commit fornication and adultery and engage in sexual activity, amen, outside of marriage, which is a sin itself against God. The Bible said, if you're a child of God, the Bible said, this is your sanctification and the will of God for you, even your sanctification, and she abstained from fornication. Amen. You know the anti-life mentality. You know what it's really about? It's about removing the unchangeable law that a man and woman reaps what they sow. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, this mentality of the anti-life religion is to eliminate the harvest and reaping of their own choices. I'm for pro-choice in the sense, amen, if you wouldn't have made a stupid choice, if you wouldn't have made a sinful choice, if you wouldn't have made an anti-Bible choice, amen, maybe you wouldn't be in the shape that you're in. And the abortion industry is man's attempt, my friend, to eliminate personal responsibility from their life. One man that I heard, you say you act like you're mad. I'm about to get real mad. Amen. I'm about to get real mad. I'm telling you tonight, amen, one man said at the world, this anti-life cult, that they want to kill babies and have a good time. Does that not describe, amen, this movement that is anti-life? They want to sleep around and party around. Amen, they want to run around and they talk about their body counts and how many have you been with it. And they brag on how much they live in immorality. Then they snicker and laugh. Well, I just done away with that bad night. I took a pill. I went to the doctor. Now I don't have to worry about raising a child and raising a baby. I don't have to be called into account from the decisions that I made. I'm telling you tonight, listen to me. And they seek to remove the unchanging law of sowing and reaping, but mark it down. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 still in the Bible. I saw it this afternoon. Amen. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The murder of a baby in a woman's womb so that she don't have, and many men have promoted that, and you can study this out. I guess maybe there's a little bit of debate, but it's amazing it ain't a bigger deal than it is. At the husband of our vice president tonight, he slept around, got his nanny pregnant in his first marriage, his wife divorced him, and then he paid for her to abort that baby. Amen. There's murders in the White House. Are y'all listening? And America is plagued with men and women who think that abortion is their way to get out of their accountability for what they've done. But you listen to me, there'll be a day you'll reap what you sow. There's things you'll reap through abortion would have been that it would have been far easier to bring a life into the world than deal with. I've pastored two churches. In both churches, are you listening to me? In both churches, I have pastored both men and women who had a connection to the aborting of a baby. I've sat and talked with them. And when they done it, they thought that was the solution to, amen, not having to raise a baby. And that was the solution to the problems that were going to be created. And if they talk to you tonight, all these years later, they'll tell you, I'm reaping things tonight. Amen, I thought I was doing away with it. I thought there'd be no accountability, no repercussions. But I'm telling you, amen, if you're going to reap one way or the other. You're going to reap one way or the other. Abortion is man's attempt, amen, to negate and eliminate personal responsibility. Amen. Listen, let's just have a science lesson. Amen. I'm about to go off the radio, so let me say this. Amen. God has instituted that when a man and a woman come together, they say, oh, that was an accident. No. Amen. There's no accidents. God has set it up, and if you've had a high school, amen, health class, you understand the bodily functions of the human body and how God made us. And understand there are repercussions and possibilities of life every time a man and woman come together. And if you're going to sleep around and live like a whore and a whoremonger, produce children, you think, well, I'm just going to eliminate this life so I don't have to deal with my sin. You're going to deal with your sin one way or the other. Amen. Amen. It's absent of personal responsibility. How we doing? Number three, it's associated, this anti-life mentality, it is associated with racism. There ain't no bigger source of racism in America tonight. MAGA, my hind leg, ain't racist. I tell you, the biggest bunch of racists in America tonight is Planned Parenthood and every anti-life Democrat and Republican. They're the biggest racists there are in this country. Man, I wish I was still on the radio. These Democrats have rearranged the whole narrative around racism. By the way, it was the Republicans at fault to free the slaves in this nation. Amen. Listen, I'm Southern. Amen. Southern to the core. Love living in the South. Can't hardly even stand. Amen. To go to the North. I don't know if Montana's North. We'll find out. I know it's northward, but hopefully it ain't like Michigan. Amen. And I say, amen, it was the Republicans, it's the Democrats who were the racists in America back in that culture of America. Amen. And they fought, and even after the Civil War, it was the Democrats who was pushing their Jim Crow laws in America. Robert Burr, back in my mind, I remember Robert Burr, and he was one of the Democrats' greatest politicians and senators, and they applauded him, and he was as racist to the core to the day he died. What the Democrats have done, they left a form of racism that was geared in slavery and segregation. To now, they just said, if we can't enslave them and we can't keep them in their own camps, then we'll just kill their babies. Say, that ain't so. That ain't so. Well, listen to this statistic. 67% of all abortions in America are performed in what we have termed as minority communities. Over 38% of all abortions that happen in America take place in the black population. Let me tell you something, that ain't by accident tonight. How many of y'all know the name Margaret Sanger? Margaret Sanger, Margaret, you say, how many of y'all never heard that name before? Never heard Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sanger, you need to know who she is, because she being dead still has an influence on America tonight. Margaret Sanger in 1921 founded what was called the American Birth Control League, known today under the banner of Planned Parenthood. It's one of the leading promoters and providers of abortion in America. Let me read you some quotes. Y'all want some quotes from Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, Hillary Clinton's idol. Hillary Clinton praises her. Well, that's enough to make me hate Margaret Sanger right there. Somebody say amen. Margaret Sanger said we should hire 3 or 4 colored ministers, preferably with social service backgrounds and with engaging personalities. The most successful educational approach to the Negro is through a religious appeal. We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate. Listen to this. Can you imagine somebody saying this in this hour? This is the founder of the abortion movement, the greatest abortion movement of our day. We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. And the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if ever it occurs to any of their more rebellious members. Margaret Sanger said that. Here's another quote. She said, eugenic sterilization is an urgent need. We must prevent multiplication. Speaking of the blacks and the Jews, we must prevent multiplication of this bad stock. Can you imagine that being said in 2024? And they still hail this woman, the Democrats especially still hail this woman as a hero. Here's what she said, birth control must lead ultimately to a cleaner race. Is that mind-blowing? You talk about racism. And they'll take Donald Trump out of context in that Charlottesville deal that happened, and he said there's good people on both sides, and rip that out of context and beat him over the head, and they won't say boo about Margaret Sanger. You know why? She's an anti-lifer like they are, and they would have to admit that they themselves are racist and founded in an organization that is racist. Here's what she said, talking about about blacks and Jews in particular. How are we to breed a race of human thoroughbreds unless we follow the same plan? We must make this country into a garden of children instead of a disorderly back lot overrun with human weeds. There's your anti-life founder. Racist to the core. Let me tell you why I stand against the anti-life movement. Because their core of racism is anti to what the Bible said. The Bible said, for God so loved the world, meaning He loved every color. He loved every nation. He loved every race. Amen. And He loved them enough to give and send His only begotten Son into the world. And His Son might give His life and that they might be saved. And John the Beloved said, God loves the world so much. And when He seen the revelation of that, my friend, He said there was an innumerable company of saints on the other side. And they sang a glorious song. And that song, part of that song was made up of a line that said, thou art worthy, or thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every race and out of every nation and out of every kindred, out of every people and every tongue. I'm telling you tonight, our God loves the world. He loves every race. And those that are pro-life, they are not racist. They love everybody. And they don't just say they love everybody. They want every race to live and thrive and be what God would have them to be. Amen. How are we doing? This is taking a lot longer than I anticipated. Anti-lifers are respecters of races. Again, are founded in racism. The same crowd today that hails that as the all-important issue to be able to have the right to take a baby's life in a mother's womb are the same ones that promoted slavery and racism and segregation in our country throughout its history. They've just repackaged it. Amen. That's pretty good preaching, preacher. Number 4, I won't say much about this, but the anti-life mentality, it is aroused by the love of money.
you would be blown away in your mind how much money is involved in the murder of babies in America. Billions. This anti-life death cult rakes in billions of dollars each and every year. I think their report, they actually have to even give a report to the government, because our government, through grants and taxpayer dollars, funds Planned Parenthood. That's an abomination unto God. Amen. And they ain't no Republican and no Democrat willing to even take that on. Maybe a handful. Amen. Why? Listen, their love, the money they rake in, the amounts of money they rake in motivates them to fight tooth and nail to murder babies. The government estimated that the abortion industry, the murder of babies, I think it was in 2021, if I'm not mistaken, I don't have that in front of me right now, but that it costs the American taxpayer, this is not just the abortion, but the effects of taking so many lives, that it has cost America $6.9 trillion. Amen. It's aroused by the love of money. Here's what Paul said, 1 Timothy 6:10. The love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. Well, are y'all done? All right. I've saved the best two for last. Amen. The anti-life mentality, it's not only adversarial to the thought of divine wisdom, absent of personal responsibility associated with racism, aroused by the love of money. Number five, the anti-life mentality, it is acquainted with pagan worship. The anti-life mentality is not new. Though it be packaged today around health care, women's rights, and phony sympathies, it is thousands of years old, steeped in the worship of the Canaanite god Molech, who demanded the offering of the children to which of the subjects to which bowed their knee to him. It's the passing and the throwing of children in the fire to the god Molech. It's nothing more than an anti-life mentality. God rebuked it in that day. This crowd that said, oh, Jesus, he would be sympathetic to women and their choice and their body, and he would take a stand that would be a pro-choice stand. He already made a stand against anti-life mentality when men and women and civilizations were murdering their children to the god Molech. This is why this you say, preacher, it seems awful. It seems awful dogmatic. It seems awful crass. It seems like you're taking a hard line stand, that you are referencing the abortionists as being a cult. That's exactly what they are. Every Planned Parenthood is nothing more than a temple to the god Molech manifest in 2024. It is acquainted with pagan worship, and that's why they will fight you tooth and nail. It is their religion. It is their god. It is their form of worship. And that's why they're not, Gerald, going to give it up easy. We who stand on a pro-life position, period, exclamation point, no question marks. We have to stand against it because of the association that it has, the acquaintance it has with being a form of pagan worship. I could go and read you some of the things that would take place. It would break your heart if you could understand the worship of Molech and the comparisons it has to the abortion movement, the anti-life mentality of our day. You cannot find one millimeter of space between the two. The abortionist doctors are nothing more than priests of Molech. Amen. And all their instruments and knives and suctions and vacuums and pills is nothing, their pills is nothing more than their form of communion. And their knives and their foregrips and their vacuums are nothing more than their implements of worship giving glory to the God of Molech. Amen. Say, preacher, what's the anti-life? The anti-life mentality, last of all, it is antithetical to the gospel. Think about this. I shared this with my wife the other day. I told her I was probably going to preach on abortion. I didn't know if I would or wouldn't. She said, preacher, what do you mean it's antithetical to the gospel? Think about a woman. Now, again, let's come away from the sympathies and the feeling side of things. That's such a minute part of abortions. 96% are elective, where women just simply say, I'm going to have an abortion. What do they say? Here's what they're saying. They say, well, I got a career. I've got a life to live. I can't have a child holding me back. I can't have a baby in my life because that means I can't pursue my education and my career. What a load of garbage. Here's really what they're saying, Brother Tim, to their baby. You have to die so I can live. You have to give up your life so that I can live my life. Think about how opposite that is to the gospel. Jesus said, I will die so you can live. I will lay down my life so that you can have abundant life. I will gladly give of myself so that you can know the joys of eternal life and everlasting life and abundant life and the blessed life. And I am going to give myself so you can have a life worth living. Can I tell you tonight, that is why the devil has this generation so stirred up about this issue. He knows how antithetical it is to the gospel message tonight. Amen. And he's got their mind twisted. But if the world could ever understand that Jesus came to give his life, he's the only king, he's the only God that laid down his life so his citizens can live, and mankind can be redeemed and be saved. And God, he said again, I've come that you might have life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, I'm going to lay down my life, and I'll take it back up again by way of the cross and the way of laying down my life. All mankind can be brought out of death and live. And I tell you tonight, I'm thankful for the gospel. When I think about what Jesus offers versus what the anti-life called in our day is offering to this generation, I see, my friend, something that is antithetical to the gospel message. We must get back to preaching the gospel to this world and letting them know there is a better way. And tonight, for anybody in the building or anybody watching the live stream or anybody, amen, anybody that maybe would hear this in days to come, amen, if you have been guilty of this, if you have done this, yes, it's murder, yes, it's anti-life, I'm glad to tell you there is forgiveness in God. I ain't preaching this to beat up on anybody. I'm not preaching this, amen, to make anybody feel bad and feel
shame over again for something God has already put under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul was guilty of murder. Paul had imprisoned and persecuted and been a part of even the murder of Stephen, one of God's dear saints. God forgave him, and God will forgive, amen, any sin that a man commits. Amen. The grace of God can forgive it. That is the message of the gospel. Jesus Christ laid down his life so that you could live again. Ain't you thankful for that? Amen. Well, has this made any sense tonight? I hope it's, and I know some of y'all going to come to me and you're going to say, well, what about this and what about that and what about this and what about, listen, I could preach 6 months on this subject and still not get to every point. Amen. Some of y'all think six was too much. All right. Amen. There's a lot more we could get into, but may the Lord help us to make our stand. And by the way, if you're a Christian, it's high time we rise up and let our voice be heard on this issue. I'm not talking about being ugly. I'm not talking about, you say, well, you got, you, amen. Well, I'm just preaching to y'all, but you got some family members that need to hear about pro-life and anti-life. We need to take back, amen, the narrative around this issue and get it back to where it ought to be. And it's high time, amen, God's people take this issue back. We have the right side. We are on God's side when we're pro-life. And it's time God's people get the gospel back out. Get you some tracts when you leave here tonight. The gospel fixes everything we preached against tonight. It does. The gospel fixes it all. The gospel fixes it all. Tell somebody about the salvation that's in Jesus Christ. Tell them about what Jesus done. My friend, watch what the Lord can do. Amen. In a nation, I believe with all my heart, it's just going to get worse. The political solutions, right? The political solutions, and we've seen some enacted in our day, are only making it worse. And I ain't blaming any one individual. It's not one individual's fault. It's the moral issue in America, in the heart of America, that we've got to address. And so I'm not looking to politicians to fix it. Amen. I'm looking at you as God's people. What are you doing about it? What have you said about it lately? You got social media. Say something. Oh, I'll get banned. I don't know about all that. Maybe that'd be good for some of y'all. Be banned. You couldn't look at it for a week. Listen, everybody, you live in a culture. I'm done preaching. I'm just challenging you. You live in a culture, in a system, and I hate it. I hate social media. I hate it with a passion. But you got a voice. When's the last time you put something on there? Something from the Bible. Something that made some sense. I'm not talking about this crazy stuff. Amen. Some of these people, they talk about it. You just want to go, man, you need to shut up. You're making it worse. The Westboro crowd. What a bunch of lunatics. Amen. You can preach it strong. I hope I've preached it strong tonight. Y'all think that's a good strong stand, right? Amen. Some of y'all, you could share this from the church's live stream. You could share this out on social media. That'd be a way you to let all your family know where you stand. And say something like, man, my preacher's the best. He's so handsome and good looking, and he preaches against abortion. Amen. You can get on there and share it tonight. And then next week, share it again and keep on sharing it. Amen. People say, boy, they must really stand this way. Amen.
When you going to make a stand, Christian? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm done. Lord, I sure do love you. Our country needs help. Lord, we acknowledge that tonight as the house of God, the people of God. We acknowledge, Lord, we've let this issue get way too far out of hand. Lord, we're reaping a lot of things through many years since 1973, even before that, but especially then. Lord, our nation and the heart of our nation, Lord, is so immoral and anti-life. Lord, as your people, as a man of God preaching to these few that are here, and Lord, others that we have an influence on in the internet world, and Lord, even the radio world, Lord, I pray, Lord, this evening we could make our stand and be clear in it. Challenge the people of God, Lord, to carry the message that's been preached tonight, Lord, into the world, and Lord, to their family, and Lord, to unashamedly on their job make their mark as indeed a pro-life, a pro-Bible stand for the sanctity of life, even in the mother's womb. Lord, I pray in these days, help us, Lord, to do it, to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, as Jesus encouraged us to. Lord, if you'd help us in these days, we'd sure be grateful. We love you. We hate what our nation's become and how we've sinned against you and wronged the soul of this nation. Lord, we have to say America sure hates you tonight. It's in love with death by and large. But Lord, help those of us who love you and love life, Lord, to rise up, make a difference. Lord, if you'll help us with that, we'd be grateful. Be thankful. Lord, there's likely in the years to come, Lord, the near distant future, there's likely, Lord, to be a backlash against these kind of messages and these kinds of stands. Lord, we pray things would turn around before then. But Lord, if it would cost us everything, give us courage, boldness, never to back up. Lord, to stand, Lord, firm upon the word of God. Lord, I pray we'd not be found standing alone, but we, Lord, as a congregation of 70 people or so, that, Lord, we'd make up our mind we're going to stand with God and we're going to stand together. Lord, whatever it costs us, Lord, I pray, Lord, it'd be worth it all just to be on your side. We thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, that's your study. Amen. Get ready. I got more issues we're going to tackle. That's just abortion. Amen. Wait till we hit the transgender movement. You think this was bad. Wait till I jump on that. Amen. And I've got some other things we want to tackle. And so we'll see how the Lord will lead.